This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 396-0577 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how's everything been going?
Well, getting a great tan this summer.
It has been that way for sure. A little relief earlier this week. But for the most part, man, we've had, it's got to be a record over 100 days, days over 100 degrees. So, You know, it's funny when it gets up to like 106, 107, I can't quite explain it, but our showings drop off a little bit.
I can imagine they do.
So, you know, it's just one of those things where very hot, very cold makes it a little tough on some of those showings. But good for John McKay's tan. So, absolutely.
He's looking pretty nice over there.
That, folks, is our in-house lending specialist, Mr. Tom Coyne with Umpqua. Tom, how you been doing?
I got a funny story. This last week, I get a text from my neighbor, and he says, "Your cows are out." Sorry. That's all it was. I immediately try to call him. He doesn't answer. He must be working or something. So I'm hauling butt home, and I live 30 minutes from the office. So I get home, and only one of the cows were out. And by that time, one of the other neighbors was like walking him around the property to get him back. But there's a mystery kid. We don't know who he was, but one of my gates was open, and the neighbor saw some kid go and close the gates. And so only one cow got out. It wasn't that bad. So I'd just like to thank the mystery kid who closed my gate.
Absolutely. Very, very good information. You want to keep your animals on your property.
Yeah, in the gates.
If you can at all
And
possible.
I trust that cow is going to be on your dinner plate next week.
He's got a few more months. But I was thinking, geez, what if he goes in the canal, gets hit by a car? How am I going to get this cow back? And thank goodness it all worked out.
Well, there you go. You didn't have to do any cowboy skills there. You
were able because I don't have any at all.
Okay, fan. Mortgage skills, yes. Cowboy skills, no.
Not so much, no.
Well, fantastic. Well, we did a little bit of traveling last week, and I can't help but, research real estate markets. So I always like to, when I travel, just give a little report on that. And we spent some time up in Canada, in BC, Kelowna, Penticton. It's kind of the Okanagan Lake District up there in Canada. And it's always interesting to relate what's going on in local markets back to what's happening in Tri-Cities and the rest of the country. So we have a network of agents, and so we spent some time with that agent, our counterpart up there in Kelowna, and it was really interesting to sit down and talk about some overreaching things that have happened. And it's funny, if you remember back to 2008-2009 when we had our mortgage crisis and prices dropped in big markets like Phoenix, Las Vegas, Florida, and you saw home prices decrease, 33% in some of those markets. What happened is we had a lot of foreign buyers, a lot of Canadian buyers came into those markets, bought second homes, took that opportunity to buy on the down, and have had those second homes for the last couple of years. But what's happened now is we kind of did our Fannie Mae reports that we went over. It was interesting to have done those radio shows and then go to another market like Kelowna. What's happened now is those markets have recovered. They've come back up 33%. A lot of Canadians bought on the low end of things. And then what's happened in the meantime is that our dollar has become much stronger now against the Canadian. So we're like 1.25 to 1. And so very, very interesting to think about. Now they're selling a lot of their U.S. properties. They got 25 to 30% appreciation in equity. Then they're bringing U.S. dollars back to Canada, gaining another 25% in currency appreciation. And what a lot of them are doing is taking that 50% equity stake and then buying properties in vacation areas of Canada. So you have like Kelowna, Penticton areas that where they're out of control. I mean, the price is there now. And because of the higher dollar value, a lot of them are choosing not to vacation in the U.S. and are staying in Canada, so making those markets even that much higher. So
that's a pretty good return on your money in 6 or 7 years.
It's absolutely incredible. Wow. And, it's just kind of when you look at that perspective of also having the currency difference – It was just really interesting to look at that market. Beautiful area. If you're ever up there, it's kind of the Walla Walla of Canada. And so you have a lot of wineries up there. Very similar type weather patterns as we see here. So great to talk to folks. We know some great agents up there. Spend some time with them. So if you ever need any referrals, even up into Canada, please let us know, because we can get you with some great people up there. So that's kind of our report on that real estate market. We always like to start off with our crazy celebrity story, and this seems to be one that just keeps popping up every couple months. We talked about last year, there's the Seattle's famous Up House, and it's the house that was in the movie Up, and that flies off away, and it was where the big malls and commercial development happened around it. Well, that's based on an actual home in Seattle.
Yeah, it was inspired for the...
Yes, you had a Trader Joe's build on one side and a LA Fitness on the other side, and they literally have three-story cement walls built around this house where they would not sell out to the developers. Well, we had reported that it was going to go up for auction at the end of last year. It did not, and so now what's happened is the current owners have decided, because they've had over 750,000 inquiries about saving that home and preserving it, they're actually going to donate it to a nonprofit. Then the nonprofit's going to move the house and then use it for kind of, you know, media exposure and preserve the house. So still, the story of the famous Up House is not over.
It's not. It's going to get moved.
It's going to get moved, okay, is the indication that we're getting there.
Now, if they're going to use it for media purposes, make sure they don't tie too many balloons to it.
Yes, absolutely. I wonder if that's how they're going to move it, McKay. They're going to get a couple hot air balloons in there. And,
very interesting.
And that would be a tough move out of downtown Seattle.
We're going to need to follow up on this story.
Yeah, I think I want some pictures of that thing being moved, you know, in the middle of the night in Seattle for sure. That's when you have to do it. So one of the things we get a lot of inquiries about, and one of the topics I wanted to go ahead and take today and cover is, you know, I felt like over the last couple of weeks, we really looked at some of the bigger markets and the trends and what's going on locally. But one of the questions we get a lot, as there's more and more online traffic, more people using Zillow, more people using Trulia and seeing these reports, one of the things that you see on websites like that is you see foreclosure or bank-owned homes, and then you also see stuff that they call pre-foreclosure. So we get a couple calls a week with people calling in and say, hey, what's going on with those foreclosure houses? Is that an option that I should look at? So one of the things I wanted to go over is what some of those notifications are. And there's actually lists out there. What happens is, prior to the foreclosure, if somebody's behind on payments, not making payments, the bank is required to post a public recorded public notice that is called a notice of default. And that means that a house is in pre-foreclosure. So they actually record what's generally people call an NOD, which just stands for notice of default. They record that. And what that is a notice of the default on the mortgage and when the foreclosure sale is going to be. So people are surprised a lot of times that this is public knowledge. This is lists and knowledge that the title companies have. That are provided to the public if inquiry is made on those.
Now, do they put these up in the window of the house itself, especially if it's empty?
Absolutely. Okay. So especially if it's empty, and they're required to post notice of that at the property and any known addresses that they might have for the previous occupants.
Because there's a house down the street that had that.
There you go. That's a prime example. So at that point, the future of that home and and here's where a lot of people get confused, is still controlled by the homeowner because they still have title to that property. They're still the recorded owner. So the person that can make those decisions in that time frame is still the previous owner. Now, where the confusion happens a lot of times is what will happen is most mortgages have what's called an abandonment clause in it. And so a lot of people that go into pre-foreclosure, they don't even know that it might be 3 or 4 months before their house is auctioned off. So what will happen is if the property is abandoned, the bank has the right to go in and secure the property. They can change the locks, winterize the pipes, and protect their investment. So you have this weird situation where the bank has had a third party come in to take control of the property from the abandonment clause, but the bank is not the technical owner until the foreclosure process is completed. Some of the advantages you have in a pre-foreclosure situation is obviously the seller's going to be really motivated for a fast sale. So you might be able to increase your bargaining power as a buyer because they only have a certain amount of time before they're going to completely lose that home. Now, there might be some equity there. Maybe if they can get a sale, maybe they put, 30, 40% down, and because of life changes or medical issues, they can't make those payments. Instead of losing all of that equity, they might be willing to cut a deal with a potential buyer. There's still enough time in the pre-foreclosure situation for buyers to do all of their standard inspections. They can research title. They can still do their inspections. It's going to act a lot like a general regular sale. Now, disadvantages that we have in a pre-foreclosure situation is that unless the purchase price you agree to covers the mortgage and all the closing costs in full, then the seller's going to have to either bring money to the table or a totally different animal, or the lender is going to have to approve a short sale. So if there's not enough money to cover that obligation, then that is known as you're short on paying off the mortgage, and that's where the term short sale comes from. Now, in that case, that's a lot tougher. We're looking at, 60 to 120 days in some time periods for the bank to approve that, and that is a way different process than pre-foreclosure. So the big thing you want to be looking at is the agreement you make with the owner going to cover all of the obligations? And in some cases, the seller hasn't moved out, so you still have to get the seller out of the home as you would in a normal closing. So that's kind of pre-foreclosure, because people ask us all the time, why am I seeing this on the website? What's the deal with this home? And they'll call our office. That home's not listed. This is just a website or a service that is taking the public data and those public records and presenting it as this home might be available. So what those websites and services are doing are really just generating traffic and eyeballs, when a lot of times you calling into our office, we probably know exactly what you know at that moment, and so you've got to contact the owner to figure out where they're at. And sometimes you make those contacts and the owner might not even know, or they're
not happy to hear from you,
to hear from you, ignoring the situation, don't want to do anything about it. Maybe it's a tenant in the property. It could be a non-owner occupied. So there's a lot of different situations where we've been through those before. We have that knowledge. If you have any questions about the pre-foreclosures, please let us know and we can help walk somebody through that. The second thing that we come along, and that is the actual foreclosure auction. That is buying a property at the courthouse steps when this foreclosure auction comes along. Bonus to that is, in most cases, that property is going to be sold for the outstanding mortgage balance and the foreclosure fees tacked onto that. So if there was equity in that property, you're going to get it for a lot better deal. Disadvantage is, generally, in those cases and at that foreclosure auction, the full purchase price is due and payable in cash, guaranteed funds, the day of that auction. So you raise your hand, you bid, you need to have the full payment for the house. So it takes financing out of the way, and you have to have your cash lined up beforehand. Bonus for you as a buyer, though, reduces your competition. If you go to these sales in the Tri-Cities, you'll generally see that there's 8 to 12 people, depending on the day and the sale, at those sales. So you have a lot less competition for those houses in a tight market like we have in the Tri-Cities than you would otherwise. But the dollars is what it really comes down to in having those available. We're going to talk after the break a little bit about buying these properties after the foreclosure, bank-owned property, how we're going to do that with financing. And we're going to talk to Tom Coyne at Umpqua about that and take a look at buying from the bank after the foreclosure.
Right here on News Talk 870.
back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been taking a look at purchasing foreclosure properties this week. We get a lot of questions to our office each week about pre-foreclosure, foreclosures at the auction, how we can help out with that, how that process works. So I just wanted to kind of explain a little bit about that to our listeners. And we also do a good number of business where we help buyers purchase what are called bank REO properties. So that is, the bank has gone through the foreclosure process. We talked before the break about buying at the foreclosure sale or buying pre-foreclosure. Now we're going to talk a little bit about what happens. And that's where the house did not sell at the foreclosure auction. So if you're at one of those auctions for fun and you kind of see how it works, they'll say back to Benny is kind of the slang term. So nobody buys it because the fees and the mortgage is higher than the investors at that auction thought. So it goes back to the beneficiary, and that basically means the bank has taken that property back for that mortgage. So the foreclosure is complete. Then the bank has a process then where they've got to secure the property, make sure that that property is vacant, regain control of the property, and then they will put it back on the market and get that liquidated. So they come back to a local real estate agent in the Tri-Cities that they have an agreement with or a contract with. That agent will help the bank get that property listed on the market officially into our MLS. And then you start to see that bank property pop up on the normal websites that you would see it on as a resale, but the bank is the owner. So that presents its own set of challenges. As you can imagine, banks, a lot of times, they're in the business of banking. They are not property managers. They are not flippers in general. So they're not going to be fixing the property up, making a lot of changes, and nor do they really have the skill set to do that, or do they really want to. So one of the things about it is you're getting a property that is in many times as what they call as-is condition, meaning what we have is what you're getting, and there's risks involved with that. One of those risks that happens is they don't make a lot of disclosures, because what do they know about the property? How is the banker handling that account in Minnesota or wherever they are, Florida, know if the property is on septic or sewer? They're not here walking around looking at that. So their disclosures are pretty much don't know to every question or not going to answer. They'll answer the required legal questions, and that's all you're going to get. The rest of that research ends up falling on you as the buyer, because let me tell you, the local real estate agent surely isn't going to take responsibility for that information either. And so you as the buyer are taking on a large amount of risk for what's there, doing the research, verifying that information, and going through that process. So what happens in many cases is there was damage done to the property. It might not have the elements required for financing. And so one of these challenges that we have, and we take these to Mr. Tom Coyne here at Umpqua a lot, and we're always having to have a large amount of dialogue with Tom about what's possible, what's not possible, how are we going to get this financing done. So I'm going to turn it over to Tom here for a little bit to talk about one of the advantages of the bank-owned property is we do have time to get financing. They do allow that to be an option in their contracts. But Tom, how are we doing that?
You know, there's a lot of times, like you mentioned, where someone wants to buy a repossessed home and there's damage to the property. And it's either being sold as is, and as is means not financeable, and so you got to get cash, or you could do a holdback. So there's different variations. But one thing that, well, I'm going to talk about two things that we allow to help people get in these homes. And the first I'm just going to go over real quick are what's called holdbacks. Let's say that maybe the house is just missing an oven and you're required to have a cooking source. We'll allow the buyer to go out and get a bid for, say, a $500 $1 million oven, and then he'll come to closing with 1.5 times that bid. We hold those funds, then we'll allow him to close a loan, and after closing he can go in and put his oven in. We send an appraiser out to verify that is indeed installed, and then we'll release the money to him. So the benefit is that he gets to buy this house where the bank is selling it as is. They don't allow any repairs. So this could be for a new roof or maybe some broken windows, an oven, anything. But what I really want to focus on is our renovation loan. So we have a conventional renovation loan that allows you to do minor repairs or a full major remodel. Maybe you find a repossessed home and it needs a new roof, and the bank's not going to put a new roof on it, and you can't get a loan until it has a new roof. So you say, well, let's look into a renovation loan. This allows you to close on this house because we're more focused on what is the condition of the property going to be after the renovation versus its current state. Now, we'll do these renovation loans on 10, 15, 20, and 30-year terms, and it could be a fixed rate or an adjustable rate mortgage. We'll do this on a purchase or refinance transactions, but it has to be on stick-built homes only, so manufactured homes won't qualify for this program. And we even allow up to 9 months for the renovation. So you can imagine how big of a scale of a remodel you can do with a nine-month build. Now, we'll go all the way up to 95% of the as-completed value of the house. Now, when I say as-completed, that's the value of the home after the work is done. Now, just to go over the process, you're going to go out, identify the home you want to buy, and go under contract on it with Lance's team. Once you're under contract on that home, you're then going to go identify your builder, take him into the property, and there you guys are going to sit down and go through a list of all the work that needs to be done. Once you draw up your plans, your specs, your drawings, your contract, everything with the builder, you know what the renovation is going to cost, you get me all those figures, and we're able to come up with the acquisition costs. Now, the acquisition cost is the cost of the home plus the remodel, and we require a 10% contingency on the repair costs. So if the repair or the remodel is going to cost $30,000, we're going to require an excess $3,000 be allocated in this budget for anything that could come up that's unforeseen. And if you don't use it, you get that money back at the end. So the sales price, the remodel cost, and the contingency added up is what we call the acquisition cost. That's the number that the appraiser gets, and that's the number we hope the appraisal comes in at, and that is what you base your down payment off of. So if you bought a house for $150,000 and between the repairs and the remodel comes to $10,000, you got to put 5% down based off of that amount. So $8,000. Now, we can do this on a primary residence, a second home, or even an investment property, which is really, really cool. So investors, you can use this as an option to get into these homes where you might otherwise not be able to get financing. 1-4 unit primary, 1 unit second homes, 1 unit investment properties. Now, one little rule for this program is that the total renovations cannot be greater than 50% of the as completed value. So if the value of the home after all the repairs is done is $100,000, you cannot have any more than $50,000 in remodels. Now, a couple of recommendations for you on these. These take time because you have to, once you go under contract on a house, you got to go identify your builder. You got to get the builder out there. He's got to do his drawings. He's got to do his research on pricing, everything. And we don't even start that loan until you get me that full package, because until we know what the budget is and what our cost is, we don't have a loan to start. So if it's going to take you 2 weeks to do that process with the builder, we'll likely need another 45 days to get through the renovation appraisal and get through the standard processing of the loan. So ideally, you'll probably need roughly 60 days, and you really want to be on the spot with making sure you're getting your contractor out there as quick as possible. Last thing is I'd highly recommend you just work with one builder. The builder has to go through an approval process, and I get it that some people want to try to contract each individual item out to different contractors and save some money, but every contractor has to go through this approval process with us. We're going to get their resume, make sure he's qualified. We verify he's got the correct licenses, has proper insurance coverage. The more contractors you have involved, the longer this whole process is going to take. So it is a fantastic loan. I love doing them. They're easy, great rates on them, and we just follow the standard Fannie Mae guidelines. So they're really lenient, I think, on who can qualify and who can't. But without this program, a lot of people couldn't buy these homes.
Tom, that's a great, great program, and I really like what you brought up about having one general contractor kind of quarterbacking the whole deal, because I can imagine if you had 3 or 4 different subs and then getting them all qualified, and yeah, that could really add up to be a lot of paperwork and delays. So definitely the extended closing for the 60 days, I like that a lot. So good advice there. I want to get into pick three because we've had some incredible inventory come on the market. We still have that lower inventory numbers that we've been talking about. So we're getting these new listings and a lot of showings quickly, but there are some great availability. Number one we've got right now, this is 5607 Mulberry Drive out in West Richland. It's a three-bedroom, two-bath Rambler. You've got the open floor plan, quiet West Richland neighborhood, 1,814 square feet, and great, great. Newer laminate floors in there, large living room with a fireplace. You've got a big kitchen, dining area open to the living room, nice, bright master suite, walk-in closets with the dual sink vanity, soaking tub, separate shower, great master. You're getting all of this, and you're getting that West Richland location for $234,000. So $234,900, Rambler, one level. Great, great plan. That's 5607 Mulberry. Now, pick number two. This is an incredible executive-style home up in Westcliff. So 1402 White Bluffs in Richland. Big, big home with amazing views. You kind of get that dual river view up there in Westcliff. It's a five-bedroom, four-bath Rambler with a basement, almost 5,000 square feet. Hardwood floors, great room with gas fireplace, huge, huge kitchen. I mean, this is very much entertaining style house. Master suite with a slider out to the deck. So you get that slider out to the deck with the river view. Absolutely gorgeous. Then in the basement, you have got entertainment galore. You've got the second kitchen, kind of the entertaining kitchen bar area downstairs. Couple extra bedrooms downstairs. Absolutely fantastic property, and this is $550,000. So for that 5,000 finished square feet up there, great, great dollar per square foot, great value up in Westcliff. Pick number three over in Pasco, we've got 10021 West Court Street. Now this is a four bedroom, three bath Rambler. Great West Pasco location. You can walk to the river, super close to the bike pass, to the parks down there. 2240 square feet. You got bay windows in the living room and dining area. Large kitchen with a big island, lots of cabinetry, updated appliances, open to the family room. You've got new flooring, master bedroom with double closets, great bath in there too with the dual sink vanity and the master. RV parking. There's a lot of people looking for that RV parking, and it's hard to find on a big Rambler like this. And that's coming in at $260,000. So there's some good inventory out there, Tom. Really good inventory out there. And like I said, there's still a lot of people out looking for these type of homes.
Well, all three of those sound like great houses.
So we talked about that loan, and you talked about buying the homes from the bank, the bank-owned properties. You know, some of the advantages you're getting there is, like we talked about, the bank isn't in, they're not in the business of owning property. So they're usually motivated to get that gone. There's some negotiation that can happen there with price, down payments, and closing costs. We can work that in on these bank-owned properties. Second advantage is that you don't have to worry about there, that you have to at the foreclosure auction sometimes, is you're going to have clear title. The bank's going to be passing on clear title. Sometimes there's additional liens and stuff you don't know about at the foreclosure auction that you have to research on your own. Don't have to worry about that once the bank has completed that foreclosure. Inspections and financing are allowed on the bank-owned property, so you have the option to have those items, even though it's as is, you still have that inspection time period for you to check it out and make sure it meets your needs. Another thing is that the property's listed in the MLS, so they're paying the agent's commissions. It's out there like a normal sale. You're getting the advantage of working with the agents and helping you through that transaction. Disadvantages. A lot of times, like Tom said, they won't allow the repairs. That's why we have to have a great program that Tom talked about with both the holdbacks or the renovation loan so that you can get that closed and then have control over that situation. So I'm glad Tom has a solution to that problem. A lot of times the bank does require additional paperwork. So you've probably got double or triple the amount of paperwork that you normally have to look at. And that's why you have an agent to go through that process with you and help you through that. So those are really the big differences about pre-foreclosure, foreclosure auction, and then buying the bank-owned. We help people with all through the gamut of these properties. We've been through these with clients, so we know what we're dealing with there. And I would, if you were looking to do that, I would highly encourage you giving me a call. We can set you up with a buyer's agent that deals with these systems and help you go through that process. Tom, what's the best way, if people have questions about those loans you talked about, whether for foreclosure or their existing properties, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Give me a call at 783-7300, or you can go to my website anytime, tomcoinhomeloans.com.
Feel free to go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us any questions or information you might have asking about these properties. We'd be glad to look into that for you, help get you into a home that's right for you. And if it's not right for you, we'll be the first one to tell you on that situation, and we can look at a more traditional type sale. Once again, we will be right back here next weekend.
Right here on News Talk 870.